The next item is the manager's report with Ole, and he still has not made it in. So maybe we'll go ahead to the old business item of the ranch manager and bookkeeper employment contract, and everybody has a copy of what Bob kind of summarized and put together in an independent contractor agreement.
This one was basically, I think, meant for Ole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we can possibly take this and just substitute those
the duties that
Linda had put on there from her initial hiring back with the Candace Bose.
And I've read through this. I think it looks pretty good. We had some questions about reporting income, and I think that's been taken care of.
This is definitely better than just kind of flying by the seat of our pants and having nothing in place. And so when we do talk with Ole, we'll get it to him and get it signed, and so we'll have an official contractor agreement. Any comment from your end, Bob?
Larry, I did that one for Ole first, and then if that looked good, then I was going to go ahead and make one for Linda. So I'll do that this next month.
Okay, that sounds great. I will give you a copy of this sheet, or maybe you already have it. What Linda gave me was simply an email that had come from Candace to Linda back on November 13th.
Larry, I have that.
Okay. It just has the job description for reservations and bookkeeping, and kind of ran down through probably 10 items on bookkeeping, secretarial, and 3 items on cabin reservations. So if you've got that, then you've got everything I've got.
The motion to take this forward to Ole and Linda.
That's probably perfectly appropriate. Making a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a – sorry, Ken, go ahead. Sure. Further discussion? Do we need any further discussion on this?
Anyone hasn't seen this and gone through it online? Okay. Anyone have any questions on it?
Nope.
I'll second that motion then.
Okay, the motion will be that we go ahead and – present this independent contractor agreement to Ole and Kenda and for their approval and signing. And you second that?
I second that.
Thank you.
Okay, it's been motion made and seconded by Ken Lent. All in favor indicate aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. The next item on the old business was the ranch house improvement status, and just for an update for the minutes and for members' participation, we, met by conference call and a discussion here a couple of weeks ago and talked about the possibility or the probably necessity at this point, time-wise, money-wise, and everything else, to work toward a home renovation or addition to the existing ranch house to add some more bedroom space and usable space for living room, dining room, and make the ranch house a little more functional, where we're kind of having some resistance and a hard time putting together enough money and having the time to get adequate housing. Ole and Kenda and their family have moved out of the ranch house. Partially a forced move from a gas leak, which we're going to discuss a little bit later.
You meant out of the...
In the garden cabin.
Move out of the garden cabin and into the ranch house. Some of their space need was, alleviated slightly. They have one daughter that's living with, I believe, grandparents in the Richfield area, going to school up there. But still, the ranch house is very inadequate for a family of any size. And so we've been looking and pursuing a renovation or addition to the ranch house, and also to use that addition as an opportunity to kind of, I don't know how you really say it, but clean up the ranch house and make it more sort of a cobbled up, it appears right now to be a shack built on a shack built on a shack. Maybe not quite that drastic, but anyway.
Also, to address the situation with the north wall being non-insulated, we could add on to that side
for the bedroom,
provide insulation for
the new exterior walls would be insulated, making the old exterior wall an interior wall, and so it becomes a non-issue about insulation.
And we could add one large room on the what would be basically the south side that would become our general meeting room too, if we needed that.
And part of this, these problems are arising because of, for lack of better explanation, years and years of neglect. We've done some renovation to the ranch house over the years, added to it back with the Beckstead family, but there's still a ton of things that just haven't been kept up. And right now we're going through a situation where a lot of people feel like maybe they're not being communicated to enough from the ranch manager. And right now they're in a situation where they have no ability to communicate. The phone system is non-operational because of power source. The computer and their email capability is non-operational because of the power source. And so we're working toward remedying that and hope that members can maybe be a little more understanding, or maybe withhold their judgmental comments until they really know what's going on. It's hard to expect a manager to communicate back and forth with you when there's, you know, right now they're without reliable phone, without reliable computer, without vehicle, without housing, and for us to expect them to do wonderful things for the ranch is a little unrealistic.
By the way, they have done some wonderful things for the ranch.
They have done great things, and moving right along with a good summer project, and have, I think, been partially criticized on a few things that people don't even understand or realize the money savings that they have already brought to the ranch. That may not be trackable from a historic standpoint, but as time marches on, new expenses are added to the ranch, not by ranch members or the management or the board. We have government agencies around us that constantly come up with new reasons to charge us money, and if through Ole's efforts that money is not charged to us, he saved us money. And so we'll get into a few of those a little bit later.
Yes.
The next item, well, to finish off the ranch house improvement status, I've been into the county building inspector and started the application process. It's not going to be long and drawn out, but it is. They've adopted a lot of new rules, and we've got to at least show them why we do not fall under all the fire requirements and everything else there. But we'll move forward with Barbara Hansen was out of town, and we'll be back in the office tomorrow. Or Monday, rather. I'm a day ahead of myself. And I'll get back with her, and we'll be working on a plan that we can probably fire out to Vance. He can post on the Internet so everybody can kind of see what we're trying to do with the ranch house and make it a usable place for a family that can help us out there at the ranch. Any questions on that ranch house?
I have a question. Have we determined what is the problem with the power source?
We know exactly what's going on, John. It's just a need to make some changes. And
Brent's on top of it. We actually kind of looked at it and talked a little bit there at the ranch yesterday, and we can make those changes, and hopefully it will remedy the problem.
We may have to put some dollars into it. We've been trying to do it on nickels and dimes, and it's not going to work.
Well, I'm putting my new three panels up, and I'll take three panels and off the house. One was hit by lightning, and so it's no good. But I'll bring those three panels down as loaners, and I'll add to the system that we currently have. But I have to run I'll have to run those through a separate charge controller, because they're actually grid-type panels that you have to run through an MPPT controller. To run to charge batteries with. So But I have a separate controller. It'll be a complete separate system, but it'll augment what we have.
Okay.
And it'll add 375 watts of power to what we already have, which is 250.
Thank you, Brent.
So what we have presently have there is inadequate.
It's not inadequate. It is inadequate in the sense that it's not enough to do what they expect to be done. People make a phone call and they expect immediate return. People email and they expect you to get back immediately. You can't be on the computer all day long with the size of the system we have because it won't handle it.
Uh-huh.
They can get onto the system once a day for a couple hours and it should handle it. With more panels, and we need to move those panels where they are from where they are right now, or we need to increase the wire. We need to go to a 4-aught wire to run the power as far as we're trying to run it.
Running them on what?
We're running them on 8-gauge wire,
right.
We're doing right now, and it's totally inadequate.
Right.
And so we're going to move the panels. We're going to get a closer location. I'll add those three panels of mine, and then they'll have more power than I have, and I have enough power to do everything I want to do. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, Ole was showing me that one tree where they built the treehouse off to the south side of the house is more than half dead. Maybe that
we looked at it yesterday and talked about just taking it out.
And then we could move the panel closer that way.
Besides that, it's lumberable.
Yeah.
It's a what?
Lumberable.
Lumberable. Okay.
We got a mill.
There you go.
I think that's fair that the money that we've allocated to renovate should be used for that, making sure we get an adequate power so they can do what they need to do.
Absolutely.
Which that's reminded me of one other thing. There's no hot water in the house. There's a hot water heater, but it's evidently completely full of calcium deposits. And so, I mean, I was there watching Kenda try to wash dishes, and it was dripping. I mean, three or four of us could slobber faster than that. Hot water would run out of the tap. So
can we just put that in, like, last year?
That was put in 1 year ago, almost exactly mid-April.
So it sounds like we need to have a water filtration,
needs a whole house water filtration system on it. The only other way we can avoid that is like once a week they need to turn the gas off and turn the water on full.
Let it flush out. Yeah.
But it hasn't been flushed in a year. They're having some erratic heat control problems. I looked it up. I went to my documentation that says the problem is that it's filled up. And so Larry came up with a real good idea. We're going to try. We're going to take an RV pump and pump some CLR through it. We need to put a whole house filtration system.
Yeah.
Mine's been in operation. I have the exact same one. It's been in operation for 2 years, and it has not failed me at all. I don't have erratic problems, but I also
I think you have a different water.
Yes. Yeah. Can I jump in a second, Larry?
Yes.
Problem with the lower ranch, because I haul my water from there, is sand, S-A-N-D, in the water. I filter the water before I even put it into my haul tank, and I get 2-3 tablespoons out of every 100 gallons of water that I haul of sand.
That can mess up.
And the reason is that's the lowest point. That's where it's going to go.
Vance, I don't think that's sand either.
Put it between your fingers and played with it?
Yeah, I have. I filled my tank up, and it's been clean. By the time I get up to my cabin, I've shaken it out. I think that's a precipitation of calcium and other crap.
The thing is, it's in my filter. My filter goes before I even put it in the tank.
Well, I've got it in the bottom of the tank I haul water in, and it accumulates.
Okay, well, whatever it is, the reason it's there is that you're at the end of the system, you're at the lowest point of the system.
Well, I still think it's a mineral that's precipitating out of it, so a filter's not going to take care of it.
Sure does for me.
Well, yeah, after you've hauled it, then you...
No, before I've hauled it. I put that filter right on that hose bib down there.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
And you can use a combination of filters. I mean, you know, you don't want to just use one. You use a sediment filter and then use...
Right. Yeah, and as far as that's a... Brent, that's that demand pipe heater hanging on the wall you're talking about, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, back flush it. I do that all the time. Works good. Well, take the flexes off, put some water back through it. You'll be back online in a few seconds.
We ought to replumb it then for that when we do this.
Yeah,
it could be.
Because I carry one of those around with me 24/7. I use it on job sites to make hot water. I have it bolted to a hand truck. And I get all kinds of interesting stuff into mine. And you just hook it up backwards for a few seconds and run it into a bucket, and you'll go, ew.
It takes a lot to make me go, ew.
Well, yeah, but that's true. But
I think we need to allocate a filtration system for the
we need to do that, and we'll do the back flushing, and then we'll do the maybe when we do the back we'll try.
It may teach us something.
Yeah. But until we get a filtration system on there, they need to take at least once a week and shut the gas off to it, which is very convenient, and run water through it, and just run water through it fast, and that'll help eliminate the problem.
Yeah. And if you could back flush it, that's even.
Yeah.
Okay, any other things about the ranch house and accommodations for our staff?
Mentioned something about a gas leak, Larry.
Yeah, it's only a garden cabin.
Oh, okay.
Lost a lot of propane on that.
Gas leak, and this is probably a good time to kind of point out, there's been some kind of bad feelings and miscommunication back and forth on the gas company and our part, and kind of a long story short, there was a gas leak in the garden cabin that Ole and Kenda could smell or notice back in January, I believe. They made an attempt to let the company know, I believe, when the guy came out to fill the tanks, or they told the truck driver. He evidently didn't pass the word along or whatever. The main bosses at the gas company didn't get the word. They were called several times, and lack of communication in their office. Anyway, here we were at the end of April nearly, and no help had come to fix it, and we had gone from 85% in the tank down to 0%. Kind of our story is that there was a leak, and we've lost gas. We don't know how much. Their story is, well, we've found the leak, but it's not very big, and you wouldn't have lost very much. You've used the gas in lights and heaters and refrigerators and hot water heaters. And so I've tried to say, let's realistically quantify what would be used, what's fair and legitimate to move forward. Some people have said, hey, if they're going to give us crummy service, let's go to somebody else. Something that needs to be understood is for gas companies, I mean, they work on a profit margin. Just because we actually spent $12,000 last year with AmeriGas, but you can't say or can't think, well, we paid them $12,000. We also took $12,000 of their product. So, you know, don't be fooled into thinking that Garkane or Coast Gas is going to jump at a, you know, super, super wonderful alternative of picking up our gas service. That was one comment, was that, you know, we're one of their biggest customers. They need to pay attention to us and do what we say, or we'll go to somebody else. I spend that much every month with a gas company here at the motel, and all they have to do is drive a half mile on a paved road, fill the tanks, and go home, and they make their profit. To go to Deer Springs and back in a truck, I don't know if any of you, I mean, you've ridden out there in a passenger vehicle or a four-wheel drive vehicle, and if you think that's rough, try it in a semi-truck. And the wear and tear on their trucks, they're, you know, they don't want to lose us as a customer just as a business principle, but they're not, it really won't hurt their feelings. So, you know, we need to look at things in a realistic light to say, of the $12,000 we pay them in a year, what's their I mean, how much money did they make? And that amount of money can be eaten up in two trips to Deer Springs. So I don't know if anybody has any other comments or input or theories to share. I think at this point we have found that there is a substantial leak, in my opinion, in the stove, the cook stove in the garden cabin. Bad enough that the propane company would not allow it to go back online, so we're looking at buying a new gas stove. Well, if it's bad enough to not be used, I would say, at least my logic would say, well, that's got to be a substantial leak, and there should be some trade-off on product.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah.
You got any underground between the garden cabin tank and the cabin? Or is there a tank right up against the cabin? I've never noticed.
Oh, there's an underground.
Any dead grass, Brent? You know what I'm talking about.
No, that's not where our problem is.
Okay.
They've pressure tested the system, and I think they've done a fairly good job of isolating where the leak is, what the problem was.
And the only argument I have is Bob Becker and I were there when we talked to Robert, and he told us, well, we got a little leak here and we got a little leak there, but he says the stove had leaks everywhere, so I'm just red tagging. So if it had leaks everywhere,
yeah,
you know, then, you know, we were losing a lot of product there.
Oh, and when kind of to finally get to the bottom of it and get it solved, I mean, it took effort from Ole and Kenda and Brent and me, and I think when we finally got Robert's attention, he's trying to take care of us, and we do need to find out, or I still want to quantify, you know, what's fair, what did we lose, and also use this as a great teaching tool for them and us both. There's a certain, line of command, and not that I fully agree with it, but if we have a problem in the future with gas, we need to make a phone call to, a board member and say, this needs to be taken care of, and that person needs to follow it through from beginning to end. If we have a problem with the gas company, now we know we just can't rely on talking to one of the drivers. We've got to call.
You need to go direct.
Yeah, a hold of somebody that has some authority and get it solved.
Should we have a procedure in place where if things like this pop up, that the ranch manager at least once a week is reporting to a board member of something, okay, this week this happened.
Sure. And I think this
we
is kind of evolved.
We should probably have that set up, right? And that way, at least the board is aware of it, and it doesn't go on for months and months and months. And I think that's, to some degree, that's really our fault.
Yes.
Because if we let something like this go on for months and months and months, you know, we should have all been aware of it, and we should have all, there should have been one of us that is reporting to the gas company.
And
so
I'm sure
really
that would have happened, but it wasn't
company.
Just seen as a, this, you know, Ole and Kenda felt like they had communicated to somebody, there's a leak, come out and fix it. And it wasn't terribly bad at that point. The lower your tanks get, the more they smell. I mean, that's in design, that's how it's supposed to be. And so as the propane was being used and lost, it started smelling more and
deodorant
more.
Deodorant became more available.
And so they became more and more, you know, adamant about getting something fixed or changed.
Well, this brings up another issue that also, a life safety issue. And if this is in the garden cabin, where is it with the other cabins? Have we pressure tested? Are we checked the system in the other cabins? Because this could very well be a life safety issue.
When we open those, the lower cabins are pretty well okay, except I know we're going to find problems in the upper cabin.
Do we test them? How often do we inspect them and actually do a sign-off on that we've tested?
Probably should have a weekly checklist of things.
Barber Button 3 years ago, after we did our cabin evaluation, they put together a checklist, a safety checklist, or an overall checklist. And that when they go in and prepare a cabin, they're supposed to do this overall checklist. And one of those was propane odors and whatever. Now, we have our own sniffer, except the problem is it's got a specific lithium battery in it, and it has to have a charger, and somebody
lost the charger,
and so I'm trying to get a hold of the company and see if we can order another charger so we can have something on site and go in and sniff things out. To answer your question directly, it's been a very long time since any cabin has been actually pressure tested from the tank into the each one. And maybe that's something we ought to.
It's something we should maybe do at least annually, if not.
I talked to Robert Amerigas about that,
the
need to do that, and one thing he pointed out to me was that every cabin's got gas lights, and the gas light valves are notorious for not, I mean, they won't leak enough to be a hazard or a smell, but they don't, they're not a complete shutoff.
Right.
And there is no shutoff from the line to the gas light. I mean, the turn on and off valve of the light is it. And so he said it still should, it should hold well enough to do a pressure test. I mean, you're going to lose a pound over a week, but we should do that. One thing that we've discovered, and I don't know if Brent knows about this or not, but we've had trouble in the past, and kind of just to bring everybody up to speed on where we're at, there have been members, there have been non-members coming through the ranch that have kind of helped themselves to propane tanks or turned something on and left it leaking, or members that have used up the propane and then maybe in an effort to cover their excessive use have called the gas company directly and said, hey, get up there and fill up cabin number 4 or cabin number 9 or cabin number whatever. And then the ranch gets a bill that doesn't fit into the normal rotation, and we've allotted or budgeted money for gas fill-ups, and all of a sudden we get an extra $200 or $600 or whatever it is. So the gas company had strict instructions to not deliver to the ranch under any circumstances without board approval or whatever. Well, when we were, you know, after this happened over a couple of months and then a couple of weeks and then a couple of days, over the period of 2 days, I think Brent called them or talked to them or went in personally to the office 3 or 4 times. I called them 3 times. Ole had communicated with them. And so I just said, hey, to resolve it, while you're going up there, they had driven up to test this leak and found out the tank was totally empty, which they should have known because that had been told to somebody. Well, they can't test a leak if the tank's empty. So they had to come back to town, go back up with a truck to fill the tank, then to test for the leak, and then come back another trip to repair the leak, and then back and forth. So I just said, when you go ahead and check other tanks just so we don't waste another trip. Well, I didn't know, and Ole didn't know, that the upper tanks are actually locked off with a padlock, which is too problem. I mean, it's against the law, and it's a very dangerous thing. I know why it was done, but AmeriGas is saying that's against our contract. We have to have access to those tanks.
Sure.
And, well, so they drove up to the upper cabins just to test, you know, to check them out and top them off. I had sent them there. Ole had sent them there. And neither one of us knew that the tanks were locked. So they get up there and then get back down and say, well, you know, we just wasted another hour's worth of bumping on your rough roads on our truck and find that the tanks are locked. Well, I'm sure the tanks are locked for to make sure somebody doesn't come along and turn them on and leave them leaking all winter. And so we're learning as we go. Hi-ho, hi-ho, hi-ho.
Okay.
But that's kind of where we're at on the power, the hot water, the gas, the ranch house improvement, and we just had the wonderful, our presence has been graced with the attendance of Holy Man.
Greetings.
Good morning.
Yeah, isn't it?
Looks like you had a lovely night.
I've had a night and a morning. Are you to the manager report yet?
We're past the manager report. We skipped that, and we went over the ranch contract stuff and the house stuff, and we're on truck status. So let's go ahead and zip through some of these other things, and we'll come back to your manager.
Yeah, truck status is this. Those miserable, blah, 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 have $400 of my money. Anyway, what happened was I made arrangements to pick the truck and the Suburban up.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy got there, and he pulled in, and he goes, he looks at the, he's already got a load. He thought he was dealing with a couple of cars. And I was very clear in communicating with him. It was a K3500 GMC, and it was with a big flatbed on it, and it was a Suburban. And so he gets there, and he goes, that truck's huge. Well, I know the bed is no wider than 89 inches, which is pretty much the legal limit. But, so anyway, he fit to take that. Jim Moriarty says, I'll take the Suburban. And he goes, well, no, we need to get both of these out there. So anyway, they left, and I got a hold of the guy. The guy said, told me the whole story. He says, I'll get somebody else. Might have to ship them in separate loads, do whatever. Okay? And where we stand right now is they have $400 of my money, and they won't return my calls. I might have to go down there and meet them personal. But here's what we're going to try to do. If they're not willing, if they're unable or unwilling to do this, then we're going to have to find somebody else. Bob and I have been working hard to do with low bid, you know, which is what we want to try to do. And the truth of the matter is, we just might have to spend a few more bucks and do it that way.
Okay.
So the status is the guy. I've called the guy about 5 times this last week. He's failed to return my call. I will call him again on Monday. He's only in the office, you know, Pacific time, 9 to 5, something like that. So.
Okay, hey, Brent. Brent,
go ahead.
Brent, is he in Ontario? Where is he located?
You know, I have no idea. I just know it's Pacific time. He's a broker, and he has a whole bunch of different people who haul loads for him, and so he just kind of gets the person who's coming from point A to point B, and I mean, one of the delays is nobody wanted to bring the vehicle to Kanab because it's too far off the interstate, so we made arrangements to go over there and pick the truck up, the truck and the Suburban up. Having just drop off the interstate there in Hurricane, we'd load them and haul them back ourselves. That helped expedite this thing. But to answer your question, I don't know where he's located. I just know he's in California.
Well, what was the area code? Was it 909?
Yes, I believe so.
Because that's Riverside area. I could go over there if it comes down to it. So let me know. And, guys, I'm going to have to bow out. So, Vance, when this is all recorded, send it to me, and then I'll make notes.
Will do. I'll send you an email.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
See you guys.
Bye.
I bet you I could buy a fake fixed and drive it back.
Well,
yeah.
Faster than
we could definitely do that. Unfortunately, now we've made... We made a trade with Mike Crosby to do the work for nothing. You know, we've got, you know, ground broker, all sorts of.
Okay.
But it's, I mean, we're going on 6 months now, yeah. The end of the month, and still haven't got a truck.
Yeah. If you and Bob will kind of follow up and see what you can do, I have a truck broker in California that hauls stuff all over the United States, and maybe I'll give him a call today and see.
We'll call him today. I will call this guy. Communicate with me. I'll call this guy back on Monday. If he's not got anybody knocking on the Moriarty's door ready to load this thing on Monday or Tuesday, then let's use your guy, and I might have a load for him to come in out of California that he could drop here on his way over.
Well, this guy's got a truck brokering company.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's all over the world.
Oh, okay. So he might have somebody back there coming this way.
Yeah, he about 50% of everything that goes in and out of a Home Depot goes on his trucks.
Really?
So he's all over. But the problem is that in the meantime, we've got no functional, decent vehicle at the ranch other than the red Dodge, which doesn't belong to the ranch, which is taking undue wear and tear. So not only are we making somebody live in a gas house with no hot water, with no bedrooms, we're not supplying a telephone, a computer, hot water, bed space, or a vehicle for a ranch manager who's being criticized for
lack of communication.
Maybe
they don't want to hear my communication.
So I think it would only be fair to do something along the lines, and I know it was offered early on to if Ole's going to be using his pickup truck, or he has been using his pickup truck, and I think it only fair that he receive some kind of
yes.
compensation to at least put the bumper back on. I don't know if anything was discussed on a dollar value before, $50 a
they
year.
Didn't, you know what, and I don't care, whatever's fair. They just said, we'll compensate you for the use of your vehicle till we get one.
We had talked about that.
But we were thinking, I was thinking, you know, maybe that would be for the month or the next. But,
right.
I mean,
yes.
Going on 6 months, my truck, those roads out there are hard on any vehicle. But what's hardest on them is I have to take that truck, load big trailers to go get the hay for the horses and to go and get the, take the trash or whatever. And it's just heavy and it's hard, and on those washboard roads, it takes it out of a vehicle. So whatever's fair, I'm not demanding. At this point, I just, you know, the ranch has just repaired what breaks on the maintenance they'd have to do on a truck anyway. And, but I mean, it's just maintaining. It is still getting, you know.
Well, it's still getting miles on it.
Oh, yeah, and at the end of
you guys decide what's fair. It'll be fine with me, but I know you're trying to get the truck out here. I don't, it's really nobody's fault. It's just the nature of the situation. But, you know, my battles are my wife's trying to be the mother of eight children with no hot water. And that is on a daily basis something that can continue to grind. And she, and you know, it's one of these on-demand water heaters. And I said, short of pulling the thing apart, I don't know what to do.
We've kind of talked about, and I think we'll have that remedied.
I'm probably 10 years behind this on-demand water heater plumber. I can mess with any water heater where it goes in and comes out of the big hole.
Yeah,
I have a little light that beeps, and then it goes. It's a little frightening for me. But then, you know, you probably don't understand where I'm at as far. I go early and I come back late, and I'm doing ranch stuff, and so I'm out of the house, but she's in that house. And, you know, I took her away from her dishwasher and her land of the all-night generator, as Brent calls it. And so when she gets on the computer, she can't even answer the emails, because as soon as she gets on the computer, the thing beeps that it's out of solar power, and the phone doesn't. Phone will last for 10 minutes, so you make a call, and the first thing you say on the phone is, this phone call is going to probably cut out, and then you talk as much as you can, but you have to choose the one person you're going to call today. And everybody else gets shelved, and then I'm sure they're angry. I mean, every message I get off my phone is angry. Why haven't you called me? What? I think, you know, if I could say it in 10 words or less, I'd tell you. And so, anyway, she doesn't have a way to communicate, email or phone, and no hot water. And so,
well, that's,
at some point we have to address an issue, because I'm only as permanent as my attachments.
Yeah. Well, I would, for the vehicle department, I would make a motion that we compensate Ole, and I'm going to say $100 a month for the use of his truck, because I feel that that's probably not adequate, but that's at least an attempt if somebody wants to up it, down it, whatever, but that's a motion
I'd
make.
I think do repairs on it as necessary, if need to be done, fix that taillight. And
pay for the tickets.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate thus far, but I'm taking it into, you know, something that would save on any vehicle. I know it's been talked about before, but the amount of running I do just to check on the cattle and the upper cabins and the upper springs and the upper lakes, if you had an ATV, I wouldn't care if it was a moped. If that road is hard on a vehicle, and I could take a lot of safety, or I mean, you'd save hundreds.
Most of the time, I don't use that one that I bought from Brent. You bring that down, you can just run that.
Well, I don't want to, you know, you need a permanent solution. I don't want to abandon it. And I've been using my ATV, but I beat the tar out of it just going. I use it for everything until my son broke the choke handle. In the cold weather, I guess it was plastic, so I can't start it now, but I brought it in today, and I'll use it, but I'm certain that you'll be glad if you get something to take the running off of those trucks, because those roads are hard on a heavy vehicle, but on an ATV, you know, I can check the cows, I can check the water system up above, I can go to a cabin, and, you know, other than stalking them where I have to have stuff to carry. But
well, that's something we could probably put out on the website, is that if any member does have a four, the ranch I think should have a reliable four wheeler to run errands and work around there. So that's something we can
save the ranch thousands.
Hey, my two balls are parked down there. You got the key?
Hey.
I don't.
At the very least, we should put that on the budget for the beginning of 2008.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's think and work toward the possible ATV use one way or another, but I didn't get any seconds or any vote on vehicle reimbursement.
I'll second that. I think we should, you know, maybe bump it a little
bit.
$150
a month.
How about if we do $100 a month plus any maintenance, any repairs? You know, we cover.
You cover expenses on it.
Okay.
I mean, you pay $100 a month,
fuel.
You cover expenses.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's reasonable.
Reasonable. Okay.
Okay, so it's moved and seconded to help our manager cover the wear and tear on his vehicle to the tune of $100 a month, plus we cover costs and repairs until we can finally get a...
You need to make that retroactive, too.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would say...
To the beginning of the year, yeah.
Now, you're going to make that call to your friend in Boston?
Yeah, I will do that. Okay, anybody opposed? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, unanimous on the vehicle. And I will call, actually, do you remember Eddie Bledsoe that came out and stayed at the ranch? His family's been out there two different years. That's his trucking broker business. So they're well aware of the ranch, or they love it out there. And... okay, the next thing on our old business list was the 10 steps to higher ground. Bob has given me a printout. Did I give one to everybody? Everybody
have
one?
We got one last meeting.
Okay, does anybody not have?
I
okay.
I better have another. Got one at home.
This is the... item that Ron Mayo had brought up several times and has continued to want us to implement. We've gone over it several times, and I'm just going to kind of basically open it up to you guys for some discussion. We could spend hours and hours and hours going over things. But I don't want to, I mean, I don't want Ron to continue to get the impression that we're just putting him off or not to... Don't appreciate what he's done, but let's discuss the 10 steps to higher ground.
Ultimately, these are suggestions, and so it's up to us to decide what parts are valuable and what parts we want to use. And I think we should decide what parts are valuable and then include those if we think feel they're valuable, and the parts that we don't.
Well,
that's my suggestion.
I truly think that any organization and any like this can be an improvement, but I would almost say to any one of us as board members or any member of the ranch, you sleep on the ground for 2 weeks, only take cold showers for 2 weeks, wash your dishes in cold water for 2 weeks, live with a propane leak for 2 weeks, and then tell us what... you know, let's go from there. Well,
we need some more. We need a bigger power system to do that, which I think is reasonable.
Yeah, definitely.
And we're going to include that in our $30,000 we're going to pull for this thing. We can include a better power system. That's something that we need to do. But
as far as overall organization for the ranch. I definitely think this is the direction we need to move, but I had received some communication back and forth with Ron and others on, you know, prioritizing and what's the true vision of where the members of the ranch want to take it, and I think we need to identify that further, but it's hard to, you know, step out of the mindset of, you know, just putting out fires. When you've got active fires, that's what you've got to do, and or... get Brent to multiply 20 times so he can go put out all the fires and then the rest of us can move on to creating committees and organizing. But to work as a voluntary board and try to give some leadership, I do appreciate anybody's suggestions or recommendations, but... I don't know if anybody other than me has similar feelings or different feelings.
I have similar feelings. This is John Southwick, by the way. And I'm kind of in agreement with Dustin that there are, there are definitely things that we can use and things that would benefit the board and the ranch membership. It will take some time. I don't think that's, I think we can do this in a rather short time, but I think we do need to review these things at length and come up with a way of distilling these things down into something that's not as, almost two pages long. I think we can.
Well, there's several things on here that would be very difficult. But getting a non-interested board together on here, you're certainly not going to get that for free. And do we have the budget even to pay people to come in here and do these things? Here's a question.
We have an interested board.
We
have as many people.
Much rather have an interested board. we need more people to give us input, you know. I think the idea of a mission statement is great for the ranch, and we need to have that done, but I think that's something that we ought to get input from everybody on. And I think that maybe some way for them to feed into Dustin's or one of the websites and say, hey, this is what we need for mission statement, it would be good. I mean, that's great. Conflict of interest policy, we still need to do that. By the way, that's not a done deal on the thing. We decided that needs to be part of our next annual meeting and re-voted again with all the membership voting on that. Transparency, we've done a lot of work towards making this more transparent. I think that what we're doing right now with the open conference calls and with recordings of the meetings going out to all the members that want to have access to it, that's great. I mean, but we can't sit there and mail everybody a copy of the minutes of each meeting or else we'd go broke pretty quick. There's a lot of things on here that probably, I agree with Dustin, we need to do it step at a time and do what we can do, but there's some things that we can't do.
And until then, I mean, the reality is, as the board, our guidelines are the bylaws. Our responsibilities are the bylaws. And those bylaws outline pretty clearly what we're supposed to be doing,
right?
Which is preserve the ranch, pay for our bills,
mm-hmm.
add improvements as necessary.
This year, it's well spoken what you're saying, but in a good portion of this, they're asking us to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Commit?
Commit, he said?
No, not commit. Customize. To customize this. And right
to
now.
Conform to this.
We would have to do a lot of customizing to achieve this.
Well,
and right now we're not set up that way.
And again, these are suggestions. This is.
But yes, but when they send this out, somebody expects something to be done right away.
But I don't think so.
And it just can't.
I think the reality is that a committee, and this comes from a person who's on a committee. Committees are to report to the board. The board is supposed to take that information as a suggestion, and it is up to the board to vote on any types of changes to policies or ideas or anything else that we do or procedures that we do, and it is up to the board to make those decisions. And if the board is willing to take these suggestions and say, okay, this suggestion A, and we can't expect that this is a package deal either. We can't say, oh, well, you can only implement all of this or none of this. And I don't think that's fair either. The reality is this goes to us. We're supposed to look at it. If we feel there are parts that are valuable, let's vote on it. And I think maybe we table that to another discussion, but we should just go through and say if there's parts that we feel are valuable, let's put that to a vote within the board. And if we feel those are procedures that are necessary, let's do them. But that doesn't mean that we're required by any means by this, because this is just a document or suggestion, just as if I wasn't a member of board and I come to the board and say, we should do the X, Y, Z.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is that what we've got here, and you look at it in total, it's very overwhelming, especially considering the limited amount of time we have to meet together in the middle of the...
Once a month.
Personally, every meeting, it costs me almost $300 to come to a meeting, and that's out of pocket for me. And to ask me to do two or three meetings a month that way, I think would be ridiculous. And do it separately is kind of a different situation, too.
Well, you have to also consider you're not running a for-profit corporation where every day is a profit or a loss. You're running a homeowners association, which is a not-for-profit organization.
You know,
These suggestions are very good, and I work with people who do or have worked with people in the past that do corporate enhancement seminars and such where they offer these to people. But one of the things that is a little bit concerning to me is, you know, the parliamentary procedure that governs a town meeting or any meeting in this country really and has done for the last couple of centuries has been pretty effective. You use it here to govern this board. The idea of having a committee that oversees a board is backwards. Boards oversee committees. That's the way they work.
Right.
The board establishes a committee to do this or to do that as a means of delegation. You know, how many watchers do you want over a board that you're lucky to have fill all the seats on,
right,
to then have a committee that oversees the board and then committees under the board? By the time you get through one of those board meetings, if you had these things in place, I mean, they're already quite lengthy.
Yeah.
By the time you got through one of those board meetings, we just as well buy IBM and, you know, commit ourselves to being a corporation for money. We are all volunteers. I mean, even me, who part of my assignment as being a ranch manager to come into a board meeting, it takes a tremendous chunk out of my day, and I literally have to push things back, saying I gotta go. And my sons take over today. I had to say, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta do that, and I delegated to my little, you know, strapping warriors there, things that are really beyond their ability, so that I can come in here to do this and then shoot back. I just can't imagine that it's going to be time or cost effective, you know, to if we all read Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, which I have read, and it's a good book. But at the end of that time, I mean, why don't we read Buckminster Fuller's Synergetics, which is the granddaddy of all of the, I mean, that's where he took a lot of his ideas from. At the end of the day, that doesn't make a cedar post get cut quicker. It does not make my post holes go any faster. Now, it may have a different application to you guys, but I spent 5 years at a university to go back to becoming a horse trainer because it was a lifestyle that I chose. The reason I'm a ranch manager down here is the lifestyle I choose. I could be much more effective. I could make lots more money, and I could be wagging the dog myself if that was the lifestyle I chose. These things don't really get a fence built faster, and you know, I'm giving my opinion as the manager. It may have a different application to you. But Brent can tell you, when the pipes broke, Stephen Covey doesn't get me there faster. And he doesn't glue the pipe, and he doesn't dig the... My tasks are very rudimentary, and there are some of them century-old practices of knowing how to pull a calf out of a first-time heifer. And I just can't find a lot of advantage to what I'm seeing here. They run the ranch better, but I think you're doing a good job. I mean, you're doing as effective a job as you can on a monthly basis. You go in, you cover the issues, you do your best.
We're representing.
There is no election of board members here. We represent people that are willing to do the job in lieu of nobody else being willing to do the job.
But that's the responsibility of everyone who has their share in the ranch
to
step up to the plate or to back
people
they've elected.
Yeah. I want to do this fire thing.
Okay.
And
then keep going.
Make a decision on this. I got to run and do an errand, and then I can come back, or I can do the fire thing
okay.
now as well.
Well, just to kind of close this up, I think we are implementing this step by step. I don't think we can be criticized at all
I think from where we were a year ago, where we were 2 years ago, we've come a long way to implement many of these things in our coming up to speed and up to current, you know,
technology.
2007 technology, websites, emails, conferencing calls, trying to communicate with all members, take input. And we have a commitment. I think every single one of us would commit to continuing to move forward with this and make every member feel like their input is important. But in the real world of accomplishing every task at Deer Springs Ranch, whether it's cabin improvement or road improvement or everything else, we don't only need paperwork suggestions. We need hands-on help, financial help, and we hope that all members will work toward that, and we will continue. I would ask every member to maybe take this 10 steps and go through it with a pen. If there's parts that either you don't feel like we can do or we should do, mark them off. Add something to it. Mark those that you think that we are doing a good job at right now. And let's try to make this a, you know, I don't think Ron was saying this is the Bible, the gospel, do it or die, but it was one suggestion. Now, I personally have some problems with certain things on there. I'll make my changes. I'll make my additions and my subtractions. I'll ask each one of you to do that, and we can email back and forth and communicate on the website, on Dustin's site a little bit. I also would like to caution everybody, board member, individual member wise, that we just can't spend our life. Some of y'all have a lot more time to set up the computer than in a day than I would like to spend in a month. So if you type stuff and you don't get a response from me within the hour, within the day, or within the week, or maybe even within the year, don't think it's because I really, really, really didn't want to. It's just that I didn't want to. So let's move on to. In fact, for
go
Brent,
back to the report,
let's.
Right?
Let's
new business or,
Brent's got a run, so
thing.
Let's go ahead and. He's got a little.
What time does the library, or not the library, the mail close in Kanab on Saturdays?
1:00?
Either noon or 1:00.
I have 2 letters that must be mailed, so.
Okay. So you ready for this?
Let's turn it over to Mr. Brent Fulmer.
I'll give you Brent Meister Fulmer's 10 steps to higher ground.
Oh, great.
Fire committee plan.
Okay.
Oh, and multimedia, too.
And multimedia.
Oh,
a PowerPoint presentation with a flip chart.
Wire
Man, you'll appreciate this. I appointed you guys by lack of the fact that we didn't want to have another committee, by lack of the fact it's hard enough to get you guys together. You guys are
the community
fire plan committee, okay?
Yeah.
You're not going to have a whole lot of legwork to do. I'll do most of the legwork, but you got to be aware of a few things. And I didn't have copies made for you, but I will have copies made for you. Then we'll get it all filled out, and then we'll have something to submit to Earl when this thing comes up. I just put together a couple of things that you need to know. Once again, the good guy, the bad guy. All right.
Water system.
This is the upper water system. There are now 2 valves installed down here. There's a valve installed here. There's a new valve here. I went up yesterday and hand buried most of this stuff here. I'm going to widen the road.
And that's the location where the road
needs to be widened out.
And anyway, I'll end up widening the road.
So we're just going to put a standard valve box over top of that then?
No, what I did is I built a little block box around
okay.
it, and I'm just burying it. Because getting in there is going to be seldom, if ever, because we
right.
shut it off below. But we can just dig it up.
Okay.
But we can put a regular valve box over it eventually. I also installed here a fire connection. Earl Levanger asked for it. It's rudimentary. It isn't up to code, but it's a 3-inch pipe that comes out of the ground with a valve. I'm going to get a 2.5-inch National Standard fire hose connection to put on there, and it's ready to go. And it'll be, and Earl wanted it there, so if they were up here protecting the cabins, they didn't have to keep running down to the bottom of the hill to get water out of the pond. So I said, okay.
that's going here. Down here, Bob Becker and I worked on this, is that the hydrant is right here. All right, people come and fill their tank. A 300-gallon tank filled off of this system is 5 hours of pumping for that solar pump. Okay? So what we'd like to do and is over here at this at the tank drain, this 4,000-gallon tank drain, is there's a regular metal shutoff valve there for the tank. I want to put a T on there, a galvanized T, come up with a hose, come up about 4 feet, put a regular hose bib on it, and then put a cap on the other side of that the T, and then lock this hydrant. And then people can fill here from this tank.
And that's only overflow.
This is not overflow. This comes off the bottom of this tank.
But it can't take anything out of the upper tank.
But you can't take anything out of the upper tank. You can only take it out of here. And the beauty of this is they can take this out. You know, they can take 300 gallons off of here, and it's not going to be problematic because this pump here, you know, the spring feeds in at roughly 5 gallons a minute, and the pump only pumps out at a gallon a minute. So we will have an excess, okay? Anyway, if that's acceptable, I'm going to get the parts and pieces and make this here, fix that, and then lock this, okay?
Where will that would come up at?
Right there, just, you know where that wet spot was?
Yeah.
That's right where it's going to come up.
Okay.
Okay.
Right out of the drain. Yeah.
How much head are we going to have there?
Enough.
Nothing.
I don't care.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I don't. They'll have
not enough to attach a hose and spray down their car.
Yeah, not enough to attach a hose and spray down their car, and it's going to take them about 10 minutes longer to fill their tank.
Yeah.
But they'll have plenty of head pressure.
Are we still thinking about putting in a standpipe at the trap pond too?
No, I talked to Earl about it. Earl wanted what he says he's going to do is he's going to. They prefer to just put a portable pump there, one of their pumpkins, portable water tanks. And fill that water tank and then draft off of there.
They'd rather do it that way.
They'd rather do it that way, and it's just fine with me. It's just one less thing I have to do. Okay? So, anyway, that's going to be locked. That's going to be the fill point.
Good.
Okay? And then that way we won't be taking water off of here and going from there. I got the solar pump working yesterday, and it's pumping fine, and I pumped. This tank should be filled by the end of the day. I'll shut this off, open this valve, and start filling the 10,000-gallon tank. And so whenever the cabins are ready to, you know, whenever we want to do that.
Right. Is there still a generator needed down there?
Yeah. Yes, there is. We're going to need a generator for down here ultimately. Now, once again, it's really only going to need it for four times a year, at least in my estimation. If we're not taking any, if people are not draining water off this to haul, and they're having to take it off of here, I think four times a year pumping that thing is going to be inadequate.
Do we need a generator there all the time, or that can be part of the portable generators that we use?
It can be part of the portable generators we use.
And
I think
that's probably
the manager can pick it up when
times.
He needs it.
I have a 5K generator that I'm willing to donate. It just needs some tune-up work, that's all. I mean, it's just like the carburetors are gunked up.
Really?
I'll donate it. You can use it. Oli can use it at the house if he needs to put it on. Haul it up there to pump whenever he needs to and take it back.
Cool.
I'll bring it next time I come up.
Woohoo!
That sounds good.
Yeah. Actually, here's what you need to do. Bring it up. Drop it over here to MD Automotive, and he'll
tune it up.
He'll tune it up for us.
We can pick it up.
And we'll bring it out. Okay?
All right. I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, John.
Okay.
Okay, lower water system, okay. We have a problem with cabin 9, we got to fix the water this week, we got to fix this. If we still need to somewhere dig this up, and when Vance Green came up, we identified where we want to put a valve. If, you know, if we're going to expand the ranch house, we can put a valve right here, you know, we can either put it here, or here, wherever you want it, Oli. If we put it here, we can shut this, we can isolate this, and still have water to the corrals and everything. You know, if we're doing repairs down here, or we can put it here.
Probably better to put it there because if you have a hydrant break in the corrals or that,
right.
You know, it's better just to shut what off there because so far most of our repairs have been out in the corral area.
Okay, all right, cool. Okay. this, hopefully is this next week project. Okay. Roads. I am the road committee, by the way, just in case anybody wants to know. I work much better alone as a committee. I don't have a lot of time to discuss with people how things need to be done. All right.
Brent, on that last one, you had a culvert something.
There was something about the culvert.
Culvert needs
fixing badly.
Sandy Johnson took care of
one.
That's been partly done. I think we still need to drop some stuff.
In fact, if any of you haven't had a chance, I'm going to take some pictures and shoot them to you. Sandy Johnson has cleaned up his lot. He bought one of Larry Walters, and it is done perfectly. It's beautiful. And so when I'll talk to him about next time.
Did he get the lower one or the upper one?
He got the lower one.
Yeah.
And you need to go up there and look at what he's done. The body of work that he's put into that place is enormous. It's enormous.
This would be a good time to reiterate, too, those concrete culverts, if members or if any place that somebody sees that we need the culvert, we're moving those. We gave 3 or 4 little sections to the millets, which they put in the road up by the podunk, I guess. But if you see a place that a culvert needs, we just as well use those up in Slide Canyon or wherever. We got to move them.
There's one spot we really should put a culvert where the Middle Canyon and Crawford Canyon forks. I don't know if you've noticed. If you drive, instead of going to Crawford, if you go on up Middle Canyon.
Oh, yeah. That's we got an erosion problem there.
You know, at the very base of the hill, there used to be where it would cross, and it still crosses there, and then right at the fork, and that's a good
culvert
location.
We definitely need something there because that's
you could go put some of those in there.
That's a divot.
Only trouble is their ends are so badly broken off that it's really hard to put them together, get them to match.
I've got a saw that we can cut
the ends off,
cut
and square
the ends
them
off,
out.
And just
and then if you put
there's metal in them and
right, then if you put a piece of plastic over them, and then crawl in them and with some quick pack cement and do the seam on the bottom,
grout them together.
Them together, they turn out and they work. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to go through this real quick, and there's a lot of information in these. I'll make copies for them. I'll get them to you. There's a huge amount of information in here. Earl Evander came out, talked to Ole and myself. We took a little tour of everywhere. The fuels guy from the BLM was suitably impressed with the fact that there's a huge fire problem. He says, in his experience, he has seen no greater fire problem than what we have. Okay? And so, therefore, they are extremely impressed that we have goats. And is it the Meadow Canyon? Is Meadow Canyon our first goat issue? Is that what they wanted? This is an overview. We went around with them. They went up the Meadow Canyon. They're going to get the BLM crews out there to thin along Meadow Canyon because Meadow Canyon is our main in and out escape route.
They also asked if members or anyone wants to cut firewood or posts or whatever, that they do it within 60 of
the center line.
Yeah, because they said the biggest worry they have right now is our trees really encroach on the road. And if you had people in the upper part of the ranch with any of those fires, especially like the one that was out by Larry Bear's place, when it comes across it, they can't get out. And he says, what happens? They panic and try it, and that's where you have a lot of death. So he said, if you feel like firewood, we've been trying to take the posts that we need for the ranch along the roads everywhere. He says, every time you're going to cut wood anyway, please try and take it from those egresses and get the wood back away from those roads.
Now, are we just thinning, or we're not clear cutting or anything?
No,
like
we're
that.
Just thinning.
No,
just
they'd like to limb and trim and cut what they can, but he said that a fire leap is more than 100 feet in that sort of canopy, and he said it would shoot across. Those roads don't even act as an effective fire break because the trees are so close. He says they'll shoot across those roads without even slowing down. And he says if you can get it back from the road about 30 feet both sides, then he said your road works as a fire break, plus the canopies can't shoot the fire, and it'll actually, you know, contain it. So.
Well, while we're talking about roads, here's one of the things that they want all the main roads to have a at least a 20-foot width on them, the road itself. It has to have a clearance of 13.5 feet all the way down, and there's many places in which we are definitely in violation of that.
Nothing over 4 inches?
What's that?
In height of ground fuels?
So for access.
Right.
Okay. Now, can we do that on the roads across the BLM?
Yes. But the BLM guy, I've made arrangements, and mostly because I got
BLM roads that are probably just as bad.
The BLM roads are just as bad,
worse.
We use them, and they will be ingress egress points for members.
So that includes the lower Slide Canyon Road?
Yeah. All roads.
Okay. Because we were told hands off on that road.
Well, we are, but we can use this. Community planning document.
Well, not only that, Earl said he would go into the BLM right after he left us and tell them we're going to treat their roads like our roads because it does no good to have part of the road done and part of the road not.
Okay.
And he said that, and the other guy was the Department of Natural Resources, and he says when dealing with fire egresses and stuff, all of the other stipulations that apply to that within that egress, he says, doesn't apply. So he says if you need to cut wood or posts or whatever along those things to thin it back, he said I'll go into the BLM and make sure that that's okay.
Fair enough.
Okay. And then
you get them in writing, and then that way we're done with that.
All the driveways have a minimum of a 12-foot width and the same 13.5-foot
height
clearance. Everybody, and this is not going to make a whole lot of people happy, you need to have an adequate, and we'll post it on the website so everybody knows, you need to have a big enough turnaround on your lot, and that is, in some cases, 100 feet clear, so they have a place to turn around. In other places, it's 50 feet, okay? And so I know that a lot of people have gone through a lot of effort to just have a nice little drive-in, and this is it. And they're going to have to go in and take out a lot of stuff to make it adequate. And Earl has said, look, we're not expecting this to be done this year. We're not expecting it to be done overnight. What we're expecting it to be done is implement a plan and show us that you're making progress on it every year. And then hopefully we'll reach this point where everyone's pretty happy about it.
So we should probably get those requirements out in the next newsletter. So
they're all in here.
Got that.
They're all in here. I will make copies of that stuff.
You got the hazard abatement that covers around structures. And
that's the one thing I neglected to mention about the upper cabin specifically. Now, Jim Moriarty, when he was out, he went out and he did a little bit of control work around cabin 7 for us, and which was a good thing. But the when we took Earl up to the upper cabins, now Earl has some special knowledge of the upper cabins because he was working construction in 1978 or whenever they were built, and he helped build those cabins. Anyway, the cabins up there on the upper cabins, we need to clear back 30 feet all the way around. No, they're not messing around.
Who's really mad about the tree separation?
Yeah, we got some terrible slope separations.
And if it slopes off at any, at all, I mean, you need to even take further.
Yeah, because that fire rushes right up the hill.
They want us to clear back 30 feet.
Your cabin is right up on a pinnacle.
Yeah. So anyway, they want us to clear back 30 feet around each one of the cabins to make sure we got plenty of ag. Cabin 4 is not too bad. Cabin 4's got quite a bit of clearance around it. We need to do that. But specifically, Cabin 1 has stuff growing right up against it or really totally close.
Yeah.
Cabin 2 is that way. I don't know if we ought to worry about 2 and maybe just hope for fire and then use insurance. but anyway, we got a problem, and we got to address it. Now, last year we put in that escape road it's more of an ATV track.
Yeah.
But we need to look at the escape routes. We have to look at safety points where we can, where if somebody can't get out, I mean, like the upper meadow, if they had to all walk out in the middle of the meadow, they're, fairly safe from a big fire going across. But anyway, all that stuff, there's an enormous amount of work that needs to be done. I'm going to try to limit your guys' involvement in this thing to simply making sure you have it so you can read it and take care of it, make suggestions, and then spend only 5 or 10 minutes on it every meeting.
I think going into that, the safety and the egress and all that stuff, too, is signs. I think if you have a problem, it's nighttime. People are, especially if you got a non-member that's out there on one of those upper cabins or whatever, it can get confusing. You don't know which way to go. If you're out at night and there's a fire going down and you got to go somewhere else, people got to have a map and good signage because you could have some serious problems.
No, we have good maps. We just need to make sure that people know where they are.
And signs. I mean, you just got to have signs.
We got the signs made. All you need to do is paint them, Dustin. And then put them up.
Okay. additional signage, we might want to consider fire danger rating signs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The fire danger rating signs. For all the climbers. Low, you know, moderate.
Well, half of them are,
you know, high and extreme. Yeah. I mean, basically.
No, I think
the Department of Natural Resources guy, what was his name?
John something.
He says, I've worked all over the country. He says, I've never seen a firebox like this. And we were up at right next to your place, the cabin we went to.
Ford?
Larry Murphy's place. And just looking out there, he said, you know, pinyon and junipers generally go like this, and they dot the hillsides. But he says, up where he says, you can't walk. You can't put your hands to your side and walk forward 15 feet, he says, without getting your eyes. He says, they just.
And the gambrel oak and all those very, you know.
He's been working pretty intensively with Cedar Mountain, and he says what they did is they came in and they cut a lot, and then that's why they use the goats so heavily is they come and maintain the little trees back. The goats won't touch
the
big
trees.
They'll take all the little fire fuels that light them up, but they can't, you know, they won't even look at a big tree like that. And he said, so up there, he says, the goats will help in maintaining what we have, but he said people really got to consider that that's just a fire weight and a half.
What was the suggestion as to what? The reasonable projects that we can do besides this.
Well, he says, do the lemon trims around the cabins, do your egresses first. Those are a must. He said, later on you can worry about. And we have also problems because we have big BLM patches in between our private ground.
That's a big thing.
That are just thick and heavy. And that's their responsibility. But he says you can't expect them to do anything if the men, because they would be in the same situation. What would be the point of them working
doesn't
on their
ground. If we don't do our part, it doesn't do anything if they don't do their part.
So then we got to talk to them and see what
we
can do.
But he said, if we begin to, he says, then money becomes available.
Right.
He says, when we start to do our, because it's an urban government interface.
Urban wildland interface.
He says, when the private members get on the job on their lots, he says, then we are obligated to put money in. He says, we have equipment. We have, 20 men with chainsaws that are in a crew.
And they got a chipper that will do an 18-inch log.
18-inch log.
Lumberable.
I couldn't believe that. But anyway, that stuff is available to you. If you start to move on it, we'll do our part. So.
Okay.
The other thing, maybe right now is a good time. Most of you probably have seen this email from Roy Bogue. It's coming to the ranch in
the Boy Scouts.
Yeah. They will be coming, 6 Boy Scouts and 4 adult leaders from the Florida Keys to stay at the ranch the week of June 22nd through the 29th. They would like to do some horse riding in exchange for some work projects, and I think, I don't know, Dustin and Ken and I, different ones saw it and responded to say, hey, we'll give you horse rides for free after the work project.
No, we're happy to trade out. If they want to dig post holes.
Yeah,
horses
can,
we can clearing out around those upper cabins would be a
Talk to you and you put them to work.
No. They'll chop their leg off, and that'll be the end of the work project.
You give them each a bow saw and little hands to pick up and drag a limb.
If we had a couple of members with a good saw, you can saw and have somebody pull in your draft quickly, and they can do that like crazy. You can get a lot of work done if you have somebody that'll pile the limbs while you run the saw. Because I can run a saw faster than they can keep clear.
What do you think about we organize a scenario where every other month we have at least a day that's set up? Because, like, for instance, I would love to come up once a month or whatever and go do stuff, but if nobody's there, you're gone. I don't want to bug Kenda. I don't know who's doing what or whatever. I'd love to come up and do some work, but who do I talk to? What do we do? What's
A lot of members.
I mean, I'm sure there's other members.
Like
want
members
to do that.
Just left yesterday. Said next time when we come up, we want to give you a day. And so I've outlined some projects that they can come. I mean, they might not love the glamour of. I mean, if they want to brand cattle like everybody that wants to come to the Dude Ranch, you can only brand so many cattle. But when I hand them a shovel and a pick bar and say, I actually need some post holes, and like,
I need this paint.
Oh, you know, well, we were kind of thinking of some city slicker. You know, maybe we could go and rope some.
But we could certainly do that where we set aside a day that's assigned.
I have projects unending.
You know what I mean?
So, you know, if a member knows how to run a
chainsaw,
I can use them. If a member knows how to run a shovel, I can use them.
Well, there are a lot of jobs that don't even need supervision. Like right now, you've gone along the Meadow Canyon Road and cut a bunch of posts and stuff.
Right.
There's a lot of the limb material still laying there.
Should
that be drug outside of that 60-foot zone?
Well, what I'm doing,
wash. What's the appropriate thing to do with it?
When we take the goats in there, they'll eat all that downed stuff, the stuff off of it, and then there's firewood in it yet. And after we take the firewood segments out of it, then we have the fluff pile, and those can just be piled like they do when they lemon trim, just as far away from stuff as you can. Or we can bring the dump trailer in and just throw it off the side of the road in there, take it down to the gravel pit. Pile it on our already burn pile.
Or should we rent a chipper once a month or something?
They said they'd give us the chipper if we had enough stuff, if we had a big enough crew to do it.
Yeah,
we don't.
Because that's a good thing.
We could run, if they'd let us have the chipper, we could run around and
have a compost pile for everybody.
Feed it into the chipper. But what I'm doing is I take firewood or fence posts, I just lay that fluff down right along where it's easy to get to. Then hopefully when
I wondered if the goats were going to come.
The goats,
through.
For some reason, they like it just a little bit wilted, and they'll come in and they'll take it so that, you know, half of that stuff's gone. Then you can saw up the firewood, throw that on for beneficial use rather than chip it. We can use that because we have to get it anyway.
Yeah.
And then all we're left with is the little brambles, which we can either throw in the dump trailer or we can put out in the road for burn pile, because we can burn right on that road if we schedule it where it's not going to touch anything, and it does nothing but make the hard pan harder.
Oldie, can you post things or jobs or projects on the board? I still have the board.
What we should do is just set it.
Are over here, you know. And
you know, I'm not sure that would be. You know, if someone came out there and worked hard and found out they'd done it in the wrong spot.
Oh, no, that would
kind of, you know, I can't really make a map and say, make a post hole over there. What I generally do is I just mark them out. Like when Larry and those, I go down and mark the post holes with a measuring tape and stuff, and then if I have two or three people, I can make a whole day.
That's why I was thinking, like, if we assign a work day, either once a month or once every other month, and those are assigned that way, we know that you're going to be available or somebody's going to be available.
Yeah.
If somebody's around or communicating.
Members, you know, trying to help, because sometimes the help.
And that way more people come at the same time.
Well, it's not really if they've got the time, I'd like to use it constructively.
Right.
If I have helpers, I'll make the space to direct it.
And then you turn the evening into a potluck lunch or dinner or something. And that way people feel like they're involved.
That before,
we do those
at
types
least
of
on
things.
The three times that we're going to have a spring, midsummer, and fall party, we said, well, let's have a work day the day before the party. And then the party the next day, or it could be the same day. Incidentally, we need to talk about that. Linda's not here, and we had opened the schedule for May 19th for our party. We've got some school group coming with leaders and kids that day, and they're expecting me for horse rides and whatnot. So we're going to have to move that May 19th party into June or something, because that's just something we can't double do. And I don't know if she didn't know they were coming or if they scheduled after and she did, the party was there. But we talked about it in the board meeting, and they said that the May 19th was open on the schedule. It's not. So.
About the Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend is shot. We have the National Fox Trotter Association
That's right. That's
plus all the members that are coming. So.
Well, we had scheduled to be out there at the ranch and have our board meeting that morning on the
19th.
On the 19th.
We could.
I think we could still do that,
we could still go out.
We were planning to go out and have our board meeting and then spend a work day to either go and tour all the cabins and kind of make our checklist.
That would be fine.
And
but as far as I was going to put quite a little shindig there with entertainment and food and whatnot, and I can't do both parties, so
you take care of the school group and Brent will entertain us.
Well, and what I was thinking is one brings us money, the other one costs us money, so we better take care of the people who have booked that are paying us, and then we can schedule that party sometime in June.
Well, I think we can still do our board meeting, our work day,
yeah, our work day.
And
you guys,
we can figure have a little potluck.
Yeah, just a month. I'm going to miss it.
Yeah, I won't
since
be
Ken's not going to be there, Dustin's
going to
be
I can make it back by Memorial.
We're going to
just
tell
me how bad it was. I mean,
I'm
not
going to be off the plane.
Spending my day
yeah,
in my plane.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's let Brent get on through here.
All right, I'm just going to go through this quickly. There's a lot to say. Yeah.
How are we doing time-wise for your mail?
It's 10 to 11.
Oh.
So I've got time.
Anyway,
it seemed a lot later. My
we'll go. These are the agencies that are involved. This is some of the stuff that we have to do in relation to this checklist. We have to describe the community, and it'll be more of an explanation when you get when I make copies of all this stuff. They're interested in the general organizational structure, the physical description of the community. Then we have to write a prescription, which includes our goals, our actions, and whose responsibility it is to take care of what we do. Okay. Then we have to list our resources. We have to technical description, community description, hazard evaluation, and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Ledger Kipling, six best friends.
Uh-huh.
All right. So planning committee member list, you guys are the planning committee. Once again, your involvement is going to be 5 to 10 minutes per meeting. That's it. Okay, unless you want to blah, 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 blah. Legal structure, they're interested in population, either full-time and or part-time. Estimated values, natural resources. Oh, while we're talking about that, Earl Evander's coming out, and he and I are going to go over the whole ranch and take pictures of every structure and GPS each location and blah, 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 blah. Commercial entities, formal associations, media support. Schools, you know, school.
Hey, I homeschool. I go. There's
that's right. You do have a school.
Yeah,
a ranch house.
The ranch house. How many rooms is that? We can't call it a one-room school. Transportation, they're talking about mass transit. We don't have that. Private emergency services and equipment, we do have. Restricting covenants, blah, 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 blah. Insurance rating, which we don't have. Physical description, access, roads, driveways, structures, bridges and gates, utilities.
Okay, all right.
Anyway.
Now, we're going to have to do a lot of PR work with the members, too. We probably have half of our membership that never get here during a year.
That we've never met.
And a lot of those, all those people have lots of joining access roads back and forth. And so that means that we're going to have to encroach upon their properties to make this work eventually.
Well, and you can just do like they did with the goats. You know, a lot of members have specifically asked for me to bring the goat herd up. In fact, the Department of Natural Resource guys want to take the goat herd with them to another place. They're shy of goats. Southern Utah just doesn't have a lot of goats, and Northern Utah has a really good goat system. We don't. But what we said was we have to first take care of the association land because that's our obligation to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll go into the private members' places. If they have fences, we'd be happy to do it. But one of the things we put in either the newsletter or we said in one of the board meetings is if somebody didn't want a goat on their property, then they need to either fence it or say so because we're going to handle it in according with what the fire people said. And unless somebody says, not here and fences that we're just going to treat the entire ranch as safely as we can. But with regard to the limbing and trimming and the egresses, you need to tell them, you know, this is something that we have to do to be in compliance with what they've asked us to do. If they don't want us to trim, you know, how most of the roads go along property lines.
Mm-hmm.
When that road comes to their property line, if they really don't want us to trim back 30 feet from the center of the road, which, you know, the road is, those roads are 20 feet at best. But
yeah, I mean, legally, there's an easement. There's an easement.
Well, it'll be essentially 10 or 15 feet into there, but we're just going to go ahead and do it.
Actually, like he says, there's a 30-foot easement.
Yeah. They're required. I mean, that's part of
it. So they just need to know if they're really determined that this particular tree isn't to be touched. They can come flag it, tag it, tell me, show me. But
no,
otherwise.
We will also be using some discretion. We're not going to go along and because there's a pond road
cutting
tree within that 10 foot of the road, we're going to cut it down.
No.
If it's lumberable, maybe.
But most of it is just limbing and trimming anyway, which prunes it and makes it look nice. It's it's not like we're going to take a bulldozer to the edge of the road. But
people in the past that have been upset have been because things were not limbed and trimmed. They were bashed off with half of a tree, bulldozed.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's a big
ugly
scar.
Yeah.
If that tree had been 100% eliminated, nobody would have even known because it wasn't a big gouge.
Yeah, I really don't think anybody's going to care.
No. They won't be touched.
They alive?
They won't be
touched. Okay. Well, actually, there's two different
things. Because
limit
trim, how far up is that off the ground?
As high as you can reach it.
Usually 6 foot.
Most of the Yeah, you're usually talking 7, 8.
The northern water tank is below it.
Oh, over there.
Way up over.
All right, anyway, I will... You guys will be getting copies of this stuff, and then I will we'll start working on this thing, and I'll try to be back here in a few minutes. You want me to mail something for you?
There you go.
Want to go and face the cast iron maiden?
Oh, no.
There.
No. Well, if you can make sure you get the letter to Garcia, these are my wife's tax thing. Mail them. Don't fail me, Brent.
Do you want proof of mailing?
Make sure they weigh.
You want
a proof of mailing, right?
Sheet.
That's another dollar or something like that.
It's worth it.
You want this as a registered?
No, just proof of mailing.
Just make sure that they get in there. Yeah.
That means you have to fill out a form.
Tell her to weigh them. If I owe more postage on, just tell me and I'll compensate.
I think I can help.
Okay, thanks, Brent, for the fire committee plan stuff.